We're starting the sermon this morning. I just want to speak into my prayer, actually, a second ago, because I wasn't expecting to speak on disappointment. We're going to be talking about blind Bartimaeus. Well, we don't know. Luke doesn't call him Bartimaeus, but Jesus healing the blind man. We're going through Luke. But just because of the day that we're in and where we are, I just wanted to talk for a moment on disappointment. We're about to go back to Kyrgyzstan. Having to leave Kyrgyzstan was a huge disappointment for me. And I just want to say to you, all of us have things in our lives that we weren't expecting. And yet God is our everything. He holds it all. And we're going to look at a man this morning who didn't have it all together. But to him, Jesus became his everything. So as you listen this morning and as you just interact with God on this thing, let him touch your hearts. Let him become your everything and change your life as we go through this talk this morning. So if you have your Bibles, let's open to Luke 18. We've been going through Luke and we've been looking at some of the miracles that Jesus has done through Luke. A lot of them have been healing miracles, which is amazing. And we're going to look at this chat this morning. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you are our everything. I thank you that despite being in a broken world, we have hope in you. I thank you for the man that we're going to look at this morning that you touched, that you spoke to, and it changed his world around. And I thank you that you still do that for us today. We just need to let you in and allow you to move. Thank you that you change our perspective and that you can become our everything. Lord, speak to us this morning as we unpack this account of what you did and give us the things that we need to take out personally, because for each one of us, there'll be different things. So speak to our hearts individually this morning, please, Lord. Amen. So this passage in Luke is a passage that is also, well, a similar passage in Mark and Matthew and John. We call Matthew, Mark and Luke, sorry, not John, the three synoptic gospels. There are four gospels, but those three in particular basically take one story quite often and they look at it from different perspectives. So if I was to look at my handbag, if I'm looking down at it from the top, I'm going to have a different picture of what it looks like than if this chap's looking from the side and if Murray's looking from that side. And that's what those Gospels did. So they brought out slightly different things in each one. So in Mark, he goes through the same story, but he names this chap as Bartimaeus. And he says he's the son of Timaeus. And we know that Mark's gospel has a particular drive to speak to the Jews. So probably Bartimaeus' family were known to the people that this gospel was going to go to. So Mark's trying to really bring it home to the Jews. Luke was a doctor. He's much more clinical and much more factual in the way he reports things. And so we're looking at it from Luke's point of view, but I'm going to bring aspects of Mark's in. Matthew also talks about two blind men, but for some reason, which we'll look at, Luke and Mark hone in on this one particular man. And then John also has stories of Jesus healing blind men, using mud and putting it on the man's eyes to heal him. But we generally think, commentators think, that John's account was probably a different situation where Jesus healed a different blind man. So in each one, there's stories of the blind being healed. In three, we think it's probably the same one. So we're going to read the story together. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So if we go back to that very first sentence, as Jesus approached Jericho, not even the first sentence, the first phrase. If we go back a few weeks, Jem was speaking and he talked about the 10 lepers. Does anybody remember, this is a very teacher thing to do, anybody remember where Jesus was with the 10 lepers before we look at the map? Because Jem talked at length about where he was specifically. And there was a shout from over there. On the border between Samaria and Galilee. So if we go to the next slide, there's the map. And they were up on the border before for the ten lepers, between the purple bit and the orange bit, between Galilee and Samaria. He didn't cross over into Samaria because of racial issues. And so they followed the border down towards the Jordan River, staying on that border. And all the while, Jesus was actually on his final journey towards Jerusalem. So they came right the way down from Nazareth, down to Samaria, along towards the Jordan River, and have walked down. So now they're just getting to Jericho, which you can see by the Jordan River down there, just getting to the Dead Sea. It says Salt Sea there, but that's the Dead Sea. So this Jericho isn't the same Jericho as in the Old Testament. They've shifted. The Old Testament one had been left and it had been rebuilt about 30 miles away. But what you need to know about this Jericho is that it was a bit of a holiday destination. It's the lowest city in the world, actually. It's 250 metres below sea level. So it was very warm and it was called the City of Palms. And it was about 4 hours' walk between Jericho and Jerusalem. So on their day off, or holiday, a lot of the Pharisees, a lot of the synagogue leaders would walk down to Jericho. So it would be quite full of all sorts of people. It was a wealthy city, and it was a big, long walk downhill towards Jericho, and then obviously uphill on the way up. There's another time that Jesus talks about this road. Anyone remember? He says, on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem, and then he tells a story. Yeah, the Good Samaritan. So the Good Samaritan is set on this road. It's a really well-known road. All the people in that area between Jerusalem and Jericho and all the way around Bethany, Bethel, Bethlehem, all of those towns are all going to know this road. So if we go to the next slide, there's some pictures, some older, some from nowadays. Obviously, now it's got a road on it. But you can see it going uphill. So that's the road from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And then the shot with all the palms is Jericho. So a nice place to be, okay? And that's the setting for this. It's interesting to know that. You need to know that. You need to know that there's going to be, that there's that walk out, because that's the setting of where this is taking place. And so he says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting on the roadside begging. Now, there's a little bit of debate about whether this took place on the way into Jericho or on the way out of Jericho, because that's one of those things in the Synoptic Gospels that is slightly different. And it's often translated in Luke as he approached Jericho. But the phrase actually isn't he approached, it's as he was near. So it doesn't actually seem to matter whether he's on his way in or whether he's on his way out. But it says when he was near to Jericho. So even though that it's slightly different than the Synoptic Gospels, it doesn't matter whether he's coming in or going out. But what we do know is that he's going to have a big crowd of people around him. Jesus was seen as a rabbi at that time. So rabbis, their followers literally followed them. And as he walked along, he would be speaking, he would be teaching. And so he would have had people listening to him, obviously his disciples coming with him down to Jericho, towards Jerusalem, but crowds, he's getting quite well known by this point. As he goes into Jericho, the next story is Zacchaeus. And we know that Zacchaeus climbed the tree to get out of the crowd so he could see Jesus. So we know that by this point, there's quite a few people around Jesus. He's getting quite well known. So they're either coming into Jericho or going out of Jericho, and a blind man was sitting by the roadside. Not unusual. not unusual at all. We hear quite often in the Gospels, it talks about a beggar sitting by the gate of the city. There was a gate that was beautiful, and there was beggars sitting there, beggars sitting outside the synagogues. We quite often hear of beggars sitting in different places. It's not unusual at all. And this one, we'd have thought, may have had friends, may have not had friends. Tony spoke this morning about the guy who couldn't walk, and his friends had carried him to the house where Jesus was speaking and made a hole in the roof and lowered him down. His friends were with him and wanting him to be healed. There's a massive difference here between that guy and this guy here, who we'll call Bartimaeus for argument's sake. Because Bartimaeus was sat by the side of the road, and all the way through this story, nobody speaks out for him. Nobody says, come on, let's go and find Jesus. Even though in Mark's gospel, it says he's the son of Timaeus. You'd have thought maybe Timaeus's family would have picked him up and said, right, let's go and speak to Jesus. But no, there's nobody in this story that helps him out. He's got no advocate. And I think that's really quite significant, because there was no expectation, not on his part, but on the part of the people in the town. They'd have seen him sitting there day in, day out. He was the beggar. There was no expectation on him. There was no expectation that Jesus would heal this man, even from his own family. Wow. So as they're walking down the road and he's begging, it says, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth, quite a normal title. Nazareth, decent place, nothing amazing about it. It's in Galilee. Remember, there's that phrase that says, can anything good come out of Galilee? You know, fine, he's Jesus of Nazareth. But the reply that he shouts out doesn't say that. So Bartimaeus, they tell him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, but he doesn't shout out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. He shouts out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. David was a king. So he is immediately changing Jesus' title and putting expectation on that title. So they're walking past. It's Jesus of Nazareth, okay? He's got a big crowd around him. And Bartimaeus is going, this is my chance. King, have mercy on me. He knows. There's something in him, in his heart, that knows that that man walking past can do something for him. That man walking past can have mercy on him. That man walking past can change his life. So there's no expectation in the people, but there's expectation in Bartimaeus. And something really amazing about this story is that when you go back into the Greek, that first phrase where he shouts out and it says, he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. That's just a general shouting out. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He shouts it out. And then they tell him to be quiet because they want to hear what Jesus is saying, because they want some information. And then it says, but he shouted all the more. He shouted all the more. And if you look in the Greek, that word isn't just a normal shout, isn't just louder. That shout is a primal, you can do something for me, I'm desperate. That's a, Jesus, come here, I need you. That's a desperate cry. Tony talked this morning about desperation. What are we desperate for? He was desperate to see. That first shout and that second shout are completely different emotions. The first one is from here, his head. The second one is from his heart. He's worried Jesus is going to pass by and his life is not going to change. And this morning, don't let Jesus pass by without getting him to change your heart. There is a desperation in that man that we need. He's an example to us. So just jumping back still in verse 39, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Why did they rebuke him and tell him to be quiet? Well, they wanted people to be able to hear what Jesus had to say. He's an amazing teacher. Of course I want people to. It's a bit like what has often happens in churches, unfortunately, where the kids are all making a noise. We need to be able to hear what's going on and what's being said. But they also missed the point. They missed the main part of the story because they were listening for information. They were listening to get fat, not to apply it. Whereas Bartimaeus was listening because he wanted to apply what Jesus could do, not just listen to the information. And I think that's a really important lesson for us because we need to listen so that we can apply things to our lives, not just listen for the information. I am a great advocate of studying the Bible and really getting into it. And hopefully when I speak, there's nuggets that you don't know, because I think that's really important to know those things. But actually, if we don't apply those things and find those things out so that we can use them, so our lives change and changes the lives of those around us, then there's no point in learning them. Amy Grant had a great song called Fat Baby, and it was about Christians who come to church with their massive Bible and just stand up and very, very Pharisaical. But it needs to change our lives, doesn't it? So Bartimaeus was known by the whole town. We think from Mark and Luke, he was known by the whole town, and yet he was on his own. There wasn't any expectation from anybody else that Jesus would heal him. Their expectation was that Jesus was a rabbi, that he would teach, he would pass through the town and go on to Jerusalem. They weren't expecting to see a man touched, and well, not even touched, just spoken to and healed, and his life turned around. But Bartimaeus had expectation. Bartimaeus had desperation. And he sat on the side of the road and didn't let Jesus pass by without noticing him. And then Jesus asks that question, doesn't he? What do you want? What do you want? Some of you here, I know some of your stories, and I know the things that you are asking Jesus for. Others of you, I don't. But I think Jesus would ask us that question this morning. What is it that's in your heart that you would risk it all, that you would make a fool of yourself like Bartimaeus and scream out, God, Jesus, help me with this? And just three different points that I'd like you to take away with this morning. If you go to that next slide, just the top one. Who is Jesus to you? So in this story, we see two different views of Jesus. We see the crowd who see Jesus as a teacher. And his disciples were with him, yes, so some of them probably saw him as God. Bartimaeus saw him as king who could have mercy. Bartimaeus knew that he could not do anything himself, that there was nothing he could do to change his situation, and it was only that mercy would change his situation. So do you see Jesus as a good teacher, can maybe make a little bit of a difference? Or do you see him as the only one that can change your life? The only one that can give mercy, show mercy to change something? Who is Jesus to you? The second thing, how are you shouting? Are you shouting like the first shout? Or are you shouting like the second shout? Are you asking Jesus, please help me, but it's actually from your head? And it's maybe quite routine. Or are you shouting from your heart? Is that desperation in your prayers? Are you really feeling? And I think, just going back to what Tony was saying earlier about Kenya, that's the difference quite often in our prayers, where we're praying for something that's distant from us. It's hard for us to move from here down to here, isn't it? We watch the news and we see so much on the news that actually it's really hard for us to pray from here rather than here. And maybe the news this week has brought it home a little bit because it's been so close to home. And seeing Derek Thomas, who we know in Penzance, seeing him on the news talking about being close to the shots of, you know, everything as everything happened, it's just a bit kind of brings it home and it shifts it from here to here. So I'm praying that as they do change their technology and get the story out of the individual children out there and the work that's going out in Kenya, that there's something that happens between our head and our heart that changes our thinking, that shifts it to being a heart prayer rather than a head prayer. And we can ask God to help us do that. You know, there's things in our own lives that automatically become heart prayers, the things that are deeply touching us. They're the desperate things. But we can also ask God to give us a heart for those things that we wouldn't easily touch, the things that we see on the news, the things that are a bit more distant. We can say to God, "Look, Lord, show me what's on your heart. Help me feel what you want me to feel so that my prayers will echo your prayers." I don't know about you, but quite often I find myself praying and then I think, well, is that God's will or not? And we often don't know. And we want to pray in God's will because otherwise it's not going to happen, right? And I think sometimes we need to just say to God, "What is your will?" And just stop talking in our prayers and start listening and let God lay on our hearts the things that he wants us to pray for, whether it's the police or the education or the council or the different things that are going on. Give him the space to lay things on our hearts and let them become heavy on our hearts as well. So how are you shouting? And how are you listening? Are you listening to then go, that was nice. That was a nice sermon. I'm going to go home and have my meal now and forget about it for the rest of the week. Or are you listening so that, like Bartimaeus, it will change the rest of your life? Are you listening to just gain the knowledge and walk with Jesus through life? And a lot of those people wanted to hear everything that Jesus would say. And, you know, I think weren't doing it with bad intentions. You know, they recognized that this was a good teacher. We're going to follow him. We're going to walk with him. I want to listen to him. I want him to be my rabbi. But there's more. At the end of Luke, this passage in Luke, it says, "Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When people saw it, they too praised God." The end of Mark has a lovely phrase where it says, "And he followed Jesus down the road." You know, he was up, he was changed, and he was following Jesus down the road. And it changed his life completely. We think he was probably blind, certainly for a long time, because there wasn't the expectation from the people around him that he would get healed. It sounds like he probably had never had his sight. What an impact that would be on that life. And he can do that for us as well.